Blog Talk Radio.
And a pleasant good evening to you. Once again, you're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, MD Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight. And it is indeed a blessed night. I want to thank and appreciate all of you who are tuned in tonight. And I want you to know that God is still a faithful God, and He is still doing great things. And He's doing them every day. His blessings are before us every day. And we would have but to call upon the name of the Lord, and He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. So we are so thankful and grateful for God, and we again thank you for your listenership and for those of you who have gone to the archives and spent some time listening to broadcasts that we have done in the past. I want to say we appreciate you for that. And let me also encourage you to continue to study the Word of God, as we know that our greatest strength will come from a deliberate and conscientious attitude toward studying the Word of God. If you are going to grow at all, it's going to be because you have studied the Word of God. And tonight we are taking the time to come together that we may study the Word of God together. And so I'm inviting you to grab your Bibles and also something to write with. There is a whole lot of different texts in the Word of God that we share from time to time on the broadcast. And I want to give you the opportunity to exercise your fingers as we walk through the Word of God, knowing that as you are exposed to more of the Scripture text, that you'll be able to put them in your notes and look back at them and also go over them. And perhaps God will reveal some things to you as you are doing your private study with Him. He that seeth in secret will reward you openly. And so you can rest assured that as you are taking the time out to study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will come and He will teach you and bring all things to your memory. So again, thank you for joining in. And I want to say to all of you that are listening that God has blessed the Bible Coach. Yes, we are about to go into pastoring. And so it's a little different from the evangelistic ministry that I've had for many years right here on Blog Talk Radio and other platforms. God has allowed me to do revivals down in Houston and be on radio and television. And so I'm here now in the city of Fort Worth, Texas, and God has blessed and opened up a door where we'll be pastoring a church. The name of the church is Training Ground Ministry, and of course, we'll be kicking off on May the 3rd. It's going to be our opening day. On May the 2nd, we'll have a Bible study that we will conduct on that May the 2nd, which is on a Saturday, and you are invited. If you live in the area, you can come on over to 3625 Little Page in Fort Worth, Texas. And the zip code is 76107. We will be having a great time in the Lord, and I want to just let you know that this is just an extension of the ministry that we've had here on Blog Talk Radio, and now we're going to be doing it in a pastoral context. And so God is doing great things, and we're just thankful and grateful for what He's about to do. I want to also say to you that that if you can sing, you can play any instruments. If you can, you have a gift or a talent that you have not been able to use that you know that God has given to you, then I want you to know that Training Ground Ministries is all about giving you the opportunity to allow your gift to have room to grow. And of course, we are going to have quite a few different training formats, and it will if you have a gift in any area, whether it's evangelism, preaching, teaching, whether it's working with children, working with women, working with men groups. And, of course, we want to encourage you that God is, when God is about to do something on this level, He's looking for individuals and individuals who love the Lord with all of their heart, who don't mind doing a little sacrificing and coming and getting the training and putting in the effort and the time to make things done in a spirit of excellence. And so we're calling on you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Come on over to 3625 Little Page and bring your commitment to coming to foster and train in the gift that you have that you want to provide. We will be doing quite a few different community events, and all of this sometimes requires some sowing into the ministry. It requires funds. I'm coming up on 5 years on this radio broadcast, and I have maybe one or two times, maybe five times that I've asked anybody to contribute on this air. But we're going into a pastoral area, and we're going into the community in that area, and we'll have young people going out, and we'll be providing food and water and all of that for them as we evangelize that community, as we go from door to door, house to house. We're going to do like the apostolic church and go out and visit the people from house to house. And so we're not just going to all be just doing church. We're going to have some health seminars. We're going to have some how to go and get a job seminars. We're going to have some financial seminars. So we're going to be very active in that community. And so if you have some gifts, again, and talents that you want to utilize in the body of Christ, come on over. We will definitely allow you to flow and grow in the area of your ministry, that God will help you to come in and see the vision of where we're working at, and that you would flow in the vision and also bring your talents, your gifts, and of course bring your financial resources, because we're going to be doing some things. We're going to be building some things, building some places where young people can go, and so we're going to need your assistance and help. So come ready to work. And now, having said all of that, it's time to get into the Word of God. And so I'm going to invite you as we go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for being such a great God and a loving God, one who's able to help us and to deliver us from all of our troubles. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will come and teach us tonight, give us instructions, give us wisdom, give us knowledge, give us understanding, and give us a heart to be obedient to you, so that we might hear the voice of God saying, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Help this to be the testimony of our hearts, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, my friends, tonight we're talking on the subject, winning while losing. Winning while losing. And that seems to be a strange topic. How do you win while you're losing? Well, we're going to get into our subject and just want to say to you that the stadiums are crowded many times because there are people who come to cheer their team on because they love to see people win. They love to see their team win, and so they spend dollars to go and see their team win, whether it's basketball or football or track or baseball or golf or little league football or volleyball, any of those sports. A lot of times you'll find people that are anxiously waiting to see if their team is going to win. And so they will spend time and money and dollars to make that happen. And tonight we're talking on how to win while losing. And I don't, you know, you may be scratching your head and saying, how is that possible that you can win while losing? Nobody likes to lose. Everybody likes to win. And whether that's winning in a relationship, winning on the job, whether it's a contest that you're operating in, many people sign up because they want to win. people buy lottery tickets because they want to win. And so our society is inundated with winning. Winning, and there are some who will even win at all costs. They will cheat. They will, you know, they will do all sorts of things to win. Even cheating, they will try to win. And so, over here in the spiritual realm of God, there is this process that God takes His children through, and it's a process of losing while you're winning. And so, if you will, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and we note a very, very powerful and strong testimony that is given by Paul. And Paul starts in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So here Paul is saying to you and I that there is a treasure that is deposited and located in earthen vessels. He's saying that there's a treasure that's locked on the inside of you, and because of this treasure being on the inside of you, it's because that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, this particular thing did not come or derive from anything that you have conjured up or was able to concoct, but this power comes from the excellence of God. And he goes on to say, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." So it looks and appears like that Paul is going through a losing process. It seems that he's been persecuted, he's been perplexed, he's been troubled, he's been distressed, he looked like he's about to lose this thing. But he says, "I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." And so here Paul is saying that, look, it looks and appears like I'm being defeated. I'm losing the battle. I'm fighting, and I'm for this gospel that I'm preaching. It seems as if though nobody wants to hear this thing, and so they're fighting against me. They're working against me. They're hurting me. They're trying to kill me and destroy me, and yet I'm still standing. And so, if you just jump over to 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. And it seems that Paul has this same type of words in the 1 Corinthians as he does in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse number 9. And he says, "For I think that God had set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place." I don't even know where I'm going to lay my head at sometimes. Paul says that, look, Jesus puts it, says that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And so here, Paul experiencing this homeless mentality is that because of this thing called the gospel, because he was working in the ministry of God, he found himself sometimes in hunger. He was thirsty. He was beaten to where he was naked, and he was buffeted, and he had no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we blessed, being persecuted, we suffered it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. So Paul says, man, I've gone through some stuff, and I'm trying to win, but it looks like I'm losing while I'm winning. I'm defeated, I'm cast down, I'm perplexed, I'm distressed, I'm in hunger, I thirst, I've been naked, I've been buffeted, I've been going through all of this, and it just looks like you're in a losing battle. Don't seem like you're going to win anything. Seems like this thing is too far. Whatever it is that I'm doing, it seems like it's not going to work out for me. And so our subject is winning while we're losing. And so it looks and appears as if though Paul is definitely losing. And so in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew the 10th chapter, and looking at verse number 38, Matthew chapter 10 and looking at verse number 38 is a very interesting thought that Jesus is sharing with us. He says to you and I that in verse number 38, he says, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So here Jesus is sharing with us that you've got to lose some things if you're going to win with him. There are some things that you want to carry along the way that perhaps is not going to be beneficial to you in this spiritual warfare that you're in. He says that if you want to follow me, there has to be some cross-bearing. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, he puts it in another way. He says to you and I, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, he says this, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So here again is this statement of that if you're going to win, you first have to deny yourself some things. You have to take up your cross, and you got to do some following. If you're going to make it into the kingdom, you've got to follow Jesus, and you've got to carry a cross. If you're going to obtain a crown, you first are going to have to receive the cross. Because if you're going to win with Christ, there's some things that you're absolutely, positively are going to have to lose. You're not going to be able to carry these things with you. And so he says again in verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So here again, he says you've got to lose your life if you're going to win your life. If you're trying to save your life in your own strength, in your own power, in your own way, then you're going to absolutely lose for sure. But if you want to win while losing, then you've got to lose yourself. You got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross and follow me if you're going to win while you're losing. There are a whole lot of things that we've got to lose in order for us to win. And so Jesus is trying to help you and I get on track with this plan of losing to win. Ah, my friends, you may be find yourself comfortable and in your house and doing all right. You may be driving your fine cars and wearing your nice clothes and all of that, but in the kingdom of God, when you come to the kingdom of God, there may be some times where you have to deny yourself. Oh, I remember over in the book of Acts in chapter 1 and 2 and all the way into 3 and 4 and 5, that the apostles went house to house and they were laboring among the people, and so much so that they began to have a redistribution of wealth. They began to sell off all of their stuff, and they began to lay it before the apostles' feet. And then they turn around and they had a redistribution of wealth, so that everybody had all things in common. If there was among you nobody that had a house, then guess what? When we brought everything together, now you got a house, you got some food to eat, you got everything that you need, because we have had a redistribution of wealth. And it appears that this was crazy, crazy thinking, that you would lose all of your stuff in order to win. So it didn't seem right, didn't sound right. If anybody told you to sell your house and bring it to the church, and then we're going to have a redistribution of wealth, and so that those who didn't have will have, and I tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's going to come a time as the economy takes a plunge, the church in the body of Christ, you're going to have to do more than just preach sermons. You're going to have to do some stuff that's going to have to help and minister to some of the needs that is in the area of your influence, in the area that you are located in. It's going to require that the body of Christ is able to do something, because social services, some of them may not exist anymore. And so, church, let me just warn you, there's coming a time where the church is going to have to provide some social services. Oh, my friends, I hope that you are, because you're going to feel like you're going to be losing, but all the time while you're losing, you're going to be winning for God. Because God is going to place the body of Christ in position where you're going to have to do something different than you have been doing in the past. If your very existence is going to depend upon your operating in the gifts of the Spirit and operating in the community and breathing life into the community because of your ministry. Jesus says that, first of all, you're going to have to deny yourself. You might have to give up that big old nice Escalade. You might have to give up, oh, my friends, that big old Cadillac and that big old Lexus and all of those big fine cars that you've been driving around in. It may come a time, pastors and ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you are going to have to come out of the big million-dollar homes and provide a stay for the children of God. And brothers and sisters, the day is coming. The day is coming when true ministry is going to come to the house of God, and the people of God are going to have to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Jesus. Pastors and evangelists and bishops and teachers and preachers of all sorts and of all kinds, from all denominations, and all of you, there's going to come a time where the church is going to have to come and provide social services in their community. Oh, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. If it's all about you and about not anybody else, you've already lost. And that's a loss that you cannot win in. But God is trying to show us that there is a way to win, even when it looks like you're losing. I tell you, this thing, in Romans chapter 12, Romans the 12th chapter, here are some other things that you're going to have to lose. In Romans chapter 12, write this text down, because you literally are going to need to have this text in your repertoire. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Brothers and sisters, I declare unto you today that you absolutely have to lose your mind. So here is another thing, that if you're going to win, you've got to absolutely lose your mind and give your mind a refreshing, a renewing from the presence of God. God is looking for a people who will decide, come what will or may, I'm going to lose my mind for the Lord's sake. And he says that if you are going to win, you've got to be transformed and you've got to stop conforming to this world. But I tell you, my friends, God is trying to wake his children up, because a thing is coming, a time is coming where God's people are going to be shaken, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and that which can't will remain. The word of the Lord is letting us know that there's going to come a great shaking in the body of Christ. And if you're not stable, if you're not clinging to the strong foundation of God, you're going to lose. You're going to be defeated. But God is saying to you and I that if you really want to win in my fight, then I need you to lose your mind. I need you to lose some things. Over in Philippians chapter 2, over in Philippians chapter 2, let me bring another witness on the scene. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So here our Savior, our Lord, in Jesus, he decided that, look, I could be on the same level of God, but I'm not going to even make myself a reputation for this. In fact, I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to become a servant. I'm going to serve people, and so much so that I will even go to the cross and die upon it. Not only will I carry the cross, but I will die on the cross that all men may live. And so it looked as if though that Jesus had been defeated. Oh, the fame of him, the people who surrounded him when he was doing the miracles and all of that. And now when he hung up on the cross, their hopes were hung up on the cross. Their hopes were dashed. They believed that it was all over, that the ministry that he had was all over. It was done with. But it was this very thing that was needed, that Jesus appeared to have lost the battle, had lost the fight against the Pharisees and the Sadducees, against the Sanhedrin Council, against the Romans, against all of those who tried to defeat him. It looked as if though Jesus had lost. But I tell you that Jesus was winning while he was hanging on the cross. He was winning while it looked like he was losing. And so he's trying to tell all of his children that it looks like that you're going to lose, but if you hold on just a little while longer, if you hold on, you'll discover that you're going to win. So he says that I need you to lose your mind. I need you to lose your mind. I need you to renew your mind. And then over in Hebrews, chapter 12, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, there's a very powerful text. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, and starting in verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so here there is a call for us as children of God to lay aside every weight. There are some things that have been holding you back and holding you down and keeping you bound in your situation, in your problems, and you have been rolled over, if it will, by negativity. There is a whole train of weight that has been running over you. And God says to you and I need you to lay aside some things. I need you to lay aside some weights and some sins that doth so easily beset you. Whatever that sin is, whatever, however loving it may appear to be, you've been holding on to it for a long time. God says tonight, today is your deliverance. It's time for you to lay aside that weight. Because if you're not going to lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, you're going to lose your life. And you're going to lose in this life, and you're going to lose in the life to come. And so he is bidding you and I to lay aside every weight. It's a time for reckoning with God. It's a time for us to approach the throne of God and say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I've got some things on the inside of me that I need to hold, to lay hold and take hold of you and lay these things before your feet so that I may win while I'm losing all of this stuff. And so it says, here is the admonition. For when you lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, then he comes in verse 2 and he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It looked like Jesus was defeated upon the cross, and it meant to make him shameful, it meant to make him be put to defeat. But the very thing that they felt like was his defeat was a thing that he was utilizing for his victory. He was winning while he was losing. It appeared that he was losing on the cross, but it says that he endured the cross, despising the shame, hanging on the cross, naked before all of the people to see him. And it was shameful, but yet he went and endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He was so elevated, far above the heavens it was, that Jesus is now sitting in the very throne with God. Verse 3 says, for consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest yet ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And this is why you've got to renew your mind. You don't want to faint in your mind. You don't want to lose your hold on God, because crucial time of your life, when everything that you do right now is weighed in the balances of heaven, that what you do on earth will determine what you will do in heaven. If you can't overcome down here, you won't overcome up there. And so God is saying to you and I, this is a contradiction. It appears that you're losing, but yet you're winning. And so this is a contradiction that comes to us, that endurance, in enduring in Jesus, enduring in the shame, enduring in what this persecution and in what appears to be your defeat and your demise, he says, keep on running, keep on fighting. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you, unto the children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth, and every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he who the father chasteneth not? If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We have gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So the whole work of chastising is for the work of holiness. It's trying to weed out and get all of the stuff that you need to lose out of your life. Lose your mind, lose your weights, lose your sins, lose all of these things, and take up your cross and begin to follow him. He says, now no chastisement for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Have you been exercised in this chastening of the Lord? Because God is trying to tear away, cut away, prune away all of the stuff that we don't need to have in our lives. So he's saying to you and I need you to lose some things. If you're going to win for me, I need you to lose. I need you to lose some things for my sake. If you will lose these things, I guarantee you, you're going to be on the pathway of winning. God wants you to put you on the pathway of winning. Over in the book of Titus is an interesting book, and I want you to go to the book of Titus. It comes after 2 Timothy. It's a book that sometimes we don't always go into, but it's a little book that after 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, then you come to the book of Titus. Yeah, all the three T's, Timothy, 1st, 2nd, and Titus. So here we are at Titus chapter 3, and looking at verse number 5, he says, not by works of righteousness which done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There is a washing which the thing that causes us to be clean is there has to be a washing in our lives. You put dirty clothes in the washing machine so that the clothes can come clean and the dirt can come off. And there's some filth and dirt in our lives, and that's the thing that God wants us to lose so that we can win. And so he says that you've got to be washed, and there's this regeneration that's going on, and there's this renewing of the Holy Ghost in you, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So here again, it appears that by losing, you're going to win. And so when you lose this, you are going to be in a position to win. God wants you to win. He is working in you, and it's to your profit that is trying to work in you the will to do of his good pleasure. And as we go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, Hebrews the third chapter, there's a very interesting verse of scripture in Hebrews, the third chapter, and looking at verse number 14, it says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. It's not enough just to start the race. It's not enough just to be in the race. It's not enough to take a few laps in the race. Everything that you do must have the mindset that I'm going to win. In the end, I'm going to win because I have kept the confidence. I've been steadfast in my purpose. My purpose and my plan is to do the will of God, come what will or may, no matter what happens to me physically in this life. I want to win in Christ Jesus. And so he says that if you lose, you're going to win. And so I'm setting you up. I'm setting you up to be a winner. I'm setting you up to be a winner. And it's going to require some fight out of you. You're not going to win if you're not willing to fight. And so First Timothy, the sixth chapter. First Timothy, the sixth chapter, and looking at verse number 12. Start at verse 11. It says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience and meekness." See, Paul had just enumerated some things prior, in the book of Timothy. There were some things that that was enumerated. He says that you should avoid. Starting in verse number 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings and evil surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain." So here again, there are those who advocate, you know, yes, God wants above all that we prosper and be in health, but if our sole goal is to get the goal and to stir up the goal and keep it locked down with ourselves, and he says, supposing that gain is godliness, there are some who have worked so hard to gain this and gain that. And he says to you and I, if what would it profit a man if he should gain the world and he loses his soul? So everything that you can accumulate in this world will not be as valuable as what you will gain in Christ. And so Paul says in another place that when I consider all of these things, I count these things as dung upon the earth. It's just like a pile of boo-boo. It doesn't even matter to me. I have made up in my mind that I am determined not to know anything else save Jesus Christ, him crucified. So his mind was made up. His heart was fixed. And he was moving forward in this thing called preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you take hold of the word of God, it's going to create some enemies. It's going to create some folks that will persecute you. And let me tell you this, the devil don't care if you preach the word if you're not living it. The devil don't care if you go to church if you're not living it. The devil don't care how much you run around the church and fall out all over the floor and everything. He doesn't care about all of that. Long as you don't decide to live this thing, he's okay with you going to church. But, oh, my friends, I tell you that one of the greatest arguments for the gospel is a compelling life, a life that is filled with the Holy Ghost, a life that is filled with the Spirit of God, a life that is lived in front and behind closed doors and in front of the people. You can't fake it. You can't shake it. You can't make it. You can't do any of those things until you decide that you are going to lose, you're going to win. You got to lose your pretenses. You got to lose your fake and phony religious talk that you do. All of that stuff has to come to an end. Why go to a place in a church and sit there for hours and not be affected by the word of God? Brothers and sisters, the day is coming where God is looking for true worshipers to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He's looking for a people who wants to hunger and thirst after righteousness, who have decided that I want to live for you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul. I am determined to put everything away, every weight of sin, everything that is thus so easily besetting me. I want to put it aside. I'm going to lay it aside. And I want to run this race and like I'm in this race to win. I've got to lose some things. I've got to lay aside some weights, but I'm going to win. I'm going to fight until I win. And so Timothy tells us that you got to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Oh, you've made some professions before people. People have seen your profession, and they witness how you said that you are a son and a daughter of God, that you are a child of God. They've witnessed that you said in your heart that you are sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and that with fire. And my brothers and sisters, then you live like you don't have no connection with God at all. And so they're looking at what you said and what they've witnessed, and they say to you and I, what in the world are you doing? Even the world knows when you're not living up to what you have said and professed with your mouth, that who you are is not really what you're doing. So Christ is saying to us, Church of the Living God, if you're going to be a true worshiper of me, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. They both go together. If you are a true worshiper of God, it will be demonstrated because you are operating in the spirit and you're operating in the truth. When you leave the church grounds, the Holy Ghost goes with you. The truth goes with you. Everywhere you are, the truth should be with you. Everywhere you are, the Spirit should be with you. There should never be a time when the Spirit and the truth is not with you. So he says to you, you got to fight the good fight of faith. You got to lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called. You have been called to this calling. You have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light, and you have profession. You've professed a good profession before many, many witnesses. So Paul says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, today, when we, the Church of the Living God, have to live what we say and say what we live, amen. There's no getting around it. There's no operating without it. It must take place. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4th chapter, in verse 7, Paul saying that in verse 6, verse he says, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You see, when you're living so connected to God, you know when it's time to go off the scene. God has so purposed you and so planned your life that that when you operate in him, when you have finished your assignment, God will allow you to fall asleep in Jesus. Because one day, you're going to hear the great trumpet of the Lord, and it's going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And all of those who are living and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says to you and I, for Paul says, I am now ready to be offered. Oh, it looked like I've been losing all the time. But this is my offering. I present my offering before you, God. You and I are to be living sacrifices, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And so we are living sacrifices for the work and the ministry of God. And Paul says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And the question comes is, do you love the appearing of the Lord? Are you looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith? Have you decided that at all costs, if it costs me my life, I'm still willing to fight until the end. I'm going to hold steadfast my confidence until I win with Jesus. I may lose everything in this world, but if I can just hold on to Jesus, I'll be a winner. I'll be a winner. If you love winning, stick with Jesus, because Jesus is a winner. And everybody that is associated with him, who holds fast the profession of their faith and cling unto him until the end, you're going to win. James chapter 4 says to you and I, from whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask that ye may consume it upon your lusts. He's saying that, ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you that if you get on the side of the enemy to fight against God, you are going to be defeated. Over in the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, and I pray that you are receiving this word in your life, and that you are writing these texts of scriptures down so that you can go back to them. And if you miss anything, you can always go to the archives and pull it up and listen again, because God has made this a profitable word, I believe, to the body of Christ. If you will receive this thing, I believe that you're going to be a winner. And so in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14, Exodus 14 and verse 14, it simply says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Oh, my God, I tell you, my friends, there is times when our who loves us with an everlasting love, he says, you can sit this one out right now, because I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to do the fighting for you. You can go ahead and sit out this one, because I've got this for you. I'm going to work some things on your behalf that you know not of. In Deuteronomy the first chapter, we see this word again, and it's so powerful. How many of you know that God is a fighting God? We got a God that know how to fight. And God can fight you with locusts. He can fight you with lice. He can fight you with frogs. He don't even have to put no weapon up against you. He just fights you with famine. He can fight. He knows how to fight. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 30, it says, "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes." He says that, look, I've already showed you what I can do when I handled up on the Egyptian, and yet I've got some more fight in me, and no matter what you got going on in your life, God will fight for you, my brothers and sisters. God knows how to war, and when God defeats your enemies, they will be defeated for sure and completely. And in verse 21, it says, Then he answered and said unto me, "We have sinned." See, God had told them to go and up against their enemies and fight them, and he was going to be with them. But I want you to know that many times we don't move when God calls us to move. And so the enemy, we give the enemy a time to reposition himself. And so the enemy had repositioned himself, and now the children of God wants to go up and fight. And it says, "Then he answered," in verse 41, "Then he answered and said unto me, 'We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us.' And when ye had girded on every man his weapon of war, ye were ready to go up unto the hill. And the Lord said unto me, 'Say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies.'" There are some times, my brothers and sisters, that when God tells you to move, you better move. Even if it looks like you're about to lose your life, you better move when God tells you to move. There are some things that God already has planned. He already has purpose. He already knows what's happening. He knows where the position of the enemy is. And if you move at the time that God tells you to move, you'll destroy your enemy completely. But if you delay in your assignment that God has given to you, woe unto you, because you will allow the enemy to reposition himself, and you are not going to be able to defeat the enemy, because he's repositioned himself. So how do we close this thing out? If you're going to win, you first have to lose. You're going to lose some things. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to lose every weight and every sin that so easily besets you. You're going to fight the good fight of faith, and then you're going to overcome. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 and verse 11, and it says, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death.'" They didn't love their lives. They took hold of the thought that even if my life is destroyed, even if this earthly tabernacle be destroyed, I'm okay with that, because I, God, who is going to at the latter day call me to come forth. And so it is the blood of Lamb that they overcame, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They kept on fighting, and they kept on fighting until they won. And so we hear these voices in Revelation chapter 19, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, 'Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God.'" God is going to give you the victory voice, where you will be able to say with the angelic hosts, "Salvation and honor and glory be unto our God, for he has defeated our enemy. And he has made it possible that you and I can make it home." In Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them and seen them, I fell down and to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then said he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. He said unto me, Seal not the sayings of this, the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. My friends, the time is at hand, and God will declare this very verse, next verse, in verse 11. He says, He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. The time is going to come where you must give everything up for the kingdom of God. If you are going to be among the just and the holy, if you're going to win, the only way that you're going to win is you're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the message of winning while losing. Help us all to understand, dear Lord, that we can lose this whole entire world, and it's okay, because in giving up all of this world, we have the gaining of Christ. We win in the end. And Lord, even if it cost us being persecuted, defamed, ashamed, on, or whatever it takes, dear Lord, help us to know that you have our best interests at heart. Help us to know that you have deposited some treasure in earthen vessels. And one day you're going to come back to obtain that treasure. Lord, help us to understand that you are making up your jewels. And one day you're going to stick in your sickle, going to reap the earth, and you're going to bring in the harvest of all of the souls that we have worked for and labored for to go home with you. And truly then, Lord, we will all be winners who have made up in their mind that we're going to go with you. Help us is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Have a great night. Thank you for tuning in. We are just excited. You guys keep on keeping. Keep this ministry in prayer, and by all means, again, join us again when we're back on the broadcast. You'll probably get a text message or a Facebook message, or however you hear about it. I tell you, brothers and sisters, just tune in, and let's spend some time with God together. God bless you. Have a great night.